He probably gave his advice and counsel like I would have if I was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. I would have hit the president with all that stuff. Like, Mr. President, we have all the assets in place, the resources. Let's fucking finish this. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Welcome aboard the Max Afterburner podcast, sponsored, powered, brought to you by the No Fallen Heroes universe and the actual universe and God. Man, I haven't been in a while, so just been busy with good things, which is awesome. Can always be worse. A lot of stuff going on, a lot of good stuff going on. Not as many No Fallen Heroes podcasts as I'd like. I got to, because we've been doing a bunch of retreats and we have a bunch of veterans, first responders, and family members who have healed. So I just have to make the time. Teresa's doing a great job on the Sacred Warrior Fellowship side of the fence, picking up the lead over there and running with knocking out debriefs as a bunch of folks. But I got to get back after that, and I will. But I wanted to come in for a rant, and then literally an hour ago, the rant changed. Well, actually, it didn't change. It's going to stay the same because it's just – let me get you up to speed, or let me lead with this. When it comes to warfare, well, let's start with a couple things. Warfare is the ultimate failure of the human condition. It does not get any more of a failure than to have to fight, right? It just doesn't, I mean, it's a duh moment, right? God did not create us or put us on this planet for us to fight. Why? Because we're all one. So let me lead with that. I don't like war. I hate war. It makes no sense. We're killing each other. We are all the same piece of cosmic stardust that appeared when He said, let there be light. All the same family, man. So war is a horror. Now, contrary to what Bob Prost, the new Pope, thinks, there are such things as just wars. Yeah. Does the current Pope or some people out there think that, you know, we were just supposed to sit on our hands in World War II as, you know, they killed 6 million Jews and, you know, Hitler stormed across Europe? Oh, by the way, the Vatican colluded with the Nazis, but go do your – there was a Catholic priest that ran a Auschwitz-like facility. Go look into that as well. But let's, you know, what am I getting at? I'm old. 47 years ago, the radical Islamic regime – I remember it. I was a kid – stormed our embassy in Iran, Marines hostage and blindfolded, and our embassy staff – they started a war 47 years ago, folks, and they've killed thousands of American troops ever since. Marine barracks in Beirut, Khobar Towers in Saudi Arabia. Was I on cruise? Man, I was in the fleet when they blew up the Air Force barracks. Over 600 Marine soldiers, sailors in Iraq. Iranian forces and IEDs in Iraq coming after us. And folks, we've been at war with Iran for 47 years, okay? And isn't it interesting how, you know, some people wanking about this today are the same people who, after 9/11, do you remember 9/11, right? These radical Islamic terrorists flew airliners in the buildings. They turned airliners. They did it right after takeoff on transcontinental flights because they were full of fuel. They turned them into small nuclear weapons, essentially, and took down. Don't even fucking start with your, they planned explosives and the Israelis took down the towers. You're fucking weird if you believe that. No offense. So turned these airliners into small nuke weapons. Okay, killed 3,000 Americans. What did some people in this country do? George Bush, it's your fault. You failed to, listen to me, connect the dots. George Bush didn't connect the dots. He should have known they were going to fly airliners into buildings. Whoa. That's kind of a big stretch, right? I think it was buried in some intelligence report, like, you know, the president gets a PD, you know, presidential daily briefing. And I don't even know if it ever got to him, but it was like page 92 of a, you know, 300 page report type of thing. But man, they gave him grief, didn't they? You should have known that these radical Islamic terrorists were going to use airliners to. Now let's fast forward. Let's fast forward to a radical Islamic regime who screams death to America, who's killed thousands of American servicemen, and they want to get nuclear weapons to kill as many of us as humanly possible. So I'm pretty sure, let's connect. These aren't even dots. These are like Saturns. These are Jupiters. These aren't dots, folks. Radical Islamic terrorists who are at war with the United States for 47 years screamed death to America, want to kill as many of us as humanly possible, and went into negotiations 6 months ago and said, we have enough uranium for 10 nukes right now, by the way. What are you supposed to do with that? And remember, because some people are like, well, North Korea has nukes, Wiz. And man, thank God the leader of Korea is a narcissist sociopath and loves himself. That's the difference. That guy wants to live. He's got a daughter that's going to take over for him. They have like a regime and they like it. He likes the NBA and Dennis Rodman and getting drunk. Folks, that ain't radical Islamic clerics who have no problem dying for Allah. Do you see the difference? If you're okay with them getting nukes, you're okay with New York City being vaporized, a nuke being put in a container ship and docked in Manhattan and gone. And if that had, God forbid that happened, oh my God, Trump didn't connect the dots. So enough. There is a such thing as a just war. You might not like it. I don't like it. And I've talked about religious freedom in the past before we split off and started Sacred Warrior Fellowship. I even talked about religious freedom. I have to as a veteran. The First Amendment to the Constitution says what? Congress shall make no law. I got that part. Establishing a religion or, huge or, prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Do you understand that? Congress, the government can't make a religion, right? They left England, man. The dude made his own religion. I want a divorce. You can't have one. I'm making my own religion. Okay, well, now it's the state religion. No state religion in America, and we're not going to tell you how you can practice your religion. That's awesome. Foundational bedrock principle of this country. Love it. I'm exercising that under Sacred Warrior Fellowship. But ladies and gentlemen, I love religious freedom. I love my Scientologist and Xenu, believing in Xenu in a spaceship. I love Latter-day Saints, Mormons, Catholics, Jews. Man, what a melting pot of religions. However, comma, if your religion feels that mine's wrong, your God is a false God and your God is wrong, and I'm allowed to kill you since you don't believe in mine, we're going to have a fucking problem. Do you understand me? The second your religious freedom encroaches on mine, I remember how to be a violent human. I want peace. I want love. God wants all of that for us. But man, there are some religions on this planet who want none of that. Do you understand me? And when those type of folks who practice that type of religion want the most powerful weapon ever built by man, and you don't have a are you stupid? Are you dumb? Oh, well, gas is really high right now. I mean, who doesn't want a radical Islamic regime getting nuclear weapons to kill all of us so you can save $50 a month? Enough. Now, even though I'm on a good rant right now, I'm going to get to the real rant. Mr. President, proportional warfare is for losers. Right now, I just did a Newsmax hit. I was supposed to do a 2 o'clock podcast here. Now it's 3 o'clock because I was on Newsmax at 2 o'clock. The top of the hour, you know what they showed on the White House lawn, which we can get into it. I think it's gaudy and tacky as shit, a UFC ring. Now, Wiz is criticizing Trump for being tacky. That's awesome. He's not a hyper-partisan. I remember when Joe Biden had the trans whatever and the topless dude or lady, whatever that thing was, and all the people like naked at the White House. So let's not talk about class in the White House lawn. Do you think a UFC fighter, that's two UFC fighters are going to go at it on the White House lawn in the ring? Do you think that the one guy, if like one guy barely hits him, like, oh, you barely hit me, I'm going to barely hit you back. What? You barely hit me. Now I'm going to break your neck and pound you into the mat. You're going to have to scream for me to stop, or the ref's going to have to pull you off, pull me off. Folks, that's warfare. Why am I bringing this up? Because can you believe, thank God they lived, an Apache, an AH-64 Apache, what, $30 million helo, got shot down the other day. Okay, they were secretly escorting tankers at night through the strait. 100 million barrels snuck out. That's why the price of oil is kind of stabilized, is because, oh my God, wait a minute. You've been doing that? So these helo guys were flying close air support for this tanker, you know, running. So blockade running, that's the word I was looking for. So the morning we found out about this, Iran claimed, we shot down an infidel helicopter and, you know, you shouldn't be here, and surrender and go home. It was quiet here in the States. And when it's quiet, you know, because folks, if you don't know me, helicopters scare the hell out of me. They're terrifying. They shouldn't fly aerodynamically. And anything that flies that has a Jesus nut, ask a helo dude. Oh, yeah, the Jesus nut. It's at the top. And if it that thing breaks, it's all over with. Jesus, take the wheel. Absolute insane flying machine. But I respect helicopter pilots, man. I'm in the air conditioning at 30,000 feet with my caramel macchiato. They're at 30 feet. They're at 3 feet. I salute my brothers and sisters who fly helicopters, man. That's why I studied in flight school. I wasn't going to fly helos. I wanted jets. I wanted fighter jets. But as the day went on, guess what happened? Trump's like, and folks, go. You should be subscribed to Top Gun Options YouTube channel. Man, I was furious at the president it seems like a week ago. It feels like a year ago. It was reported that the president said, my red lines, if they kill some of our troops, then, you know, game back on. Infuriated me. I was fucking furious. Are you kidding me? And his language was just a love tap, or, you know, these ain't love taps, Mr. President. I deal with veterans who have suffered traumatic brain injuries, horrific injuries, Mr. President. Sometimes worse than death, if you can believe it, these people will tell me. I'm fighting the war at home to heal our heroes. Man, these drones, just because somebody died doesn't mean they're not injured. But that was your red line, is, well, one of our guys has to get killed and then game back on. Man. So I was already pissed at the president. Oh, well, somebody's got to die and then I'll care. Man. So furious at the president. And then as the day went on, the Iranian media came out and said, they flew into the drone. To hear the way the president, now we got two good movies coming out, right? The Strike Eagle guys that got shot down and rescued on Easter morning. You know, Michael Bay's already making a movie type of thing. Well, pause, because we're going to make a sequel already. It was the two helicopter guys that had to crash land their helo in the ocean, and they got rescued, you ready for this, by drone boats. Ew, exactly. Drone boats, folks. The CSAR, combat search and rescue guys, sit and alert. Hey, a helo went down. All right, scramble. Let's go rescue them. Stand down. We got two robot boats that picked them up. I mean, that's great. Let me be clear. That's great. Less U.S. forces at risk of losing their life is awesome. But man, these combat search and rescue folks, that's their Super Bowl. They train for years. Helo down, F-15 down. Let's go. Wow. That's pretty intense that we got drone boats. Man, we have drone helos now. I'm a student of military history. I remember reading books like Bat 21 and about combat search and rescue in Vietnam. Hey, an A-4 pilot got shot down. Let's go try and rescue him. Well, we lost a helo. Everybody died in that one. Send another helo. Oh, an A-1 Sandy got shot down. That guy's dead. Go send another one to go get the unbelievable heroism. Wave after wave of combat search and rescue. What's their motto? So that others may live. My God, these young men and women are heroes in my book. So it's a good thing that we got drone boats and drone helos now to go rescue a human life. Let me take a quick tangent, then we're going to come back to the Iranians saying, oh, they accidentally flew into their drone. And we didn't, you know, if they weren't there, it wouldn't happen. So they were trying to walk back, shooting it down. The way the president said, it's like the drone, because the Apache, the pilot and the gunner, whichever guy sits in front and back and stuff like that. I don't know. I don't speak helo. But it said the drone hit in between the two cockpits. Do you know how much room between the canopy and the rotor blade is? The odds of that happening? So I need to I want to hear from Raisin or Hegseth about what really happened. But sounds like somehow a drone got wedged in between the cockpit. Didn't explode, obviously, but heat and smoke and fire. And, you know, the pilot, whoever was flying, needs a Distinguished Flying Cross for saving both of them. But real quick, I don't know if I've ranted about this recently, so you're going to buckle up for another one. War, drones, all this drone stuff makes war more likely and longer and worse. If you have a brain, you're sitting there going, yeah, I know it does. If you don't, let me fill your brain. Warfare at its worst is a caveman picking up a rock and smashing another caveman's head in. It's violent, and somebody has to, say it with me, suffer, sadly. Drones, what's going on? I think we've lost like 20 or 30 MQ whatever drones, like $500 million. Whoa. But guess what? That's not two Apache pilots on Iranian state TV getting the shit beat out of them. We lost some drones. Send more. We lost that drone too. Send more. So drone v. drone warfare might initially make everybody feel better that we're not risking American lives. But what happens? First of all, it gets drawn out. But second of all, the enemy goes, and who's doing drone versus drone warfare too, goes what? Well, where are they coming from? Where are they making those? Who's controlling them? Where's that base? So that's what's going to happen. Antiseptic war makes war more likely and longer. So let's get back to CENTCOM. So the president, after the Apache shoot down, said, well, now I'm going to have to hit him. I got to respond. You know, I did want to, but now I got to respond. What did CENTCOM tweet? We are engaging in a proportional response, blah, blah. Lost it. I fucking lost my shit. Again, Mr. President and CENTCOM, proportional warfare is for losers. Do you see what Israel did on October 8th, 2023? Don't fucking start a war you can't win. After shooting down that Apache, you should have rained hellfire on Iran. Not a proportional response. I read a couple tweets, Axios reporting, President Trump is furious that people aren't, you know, thinking that his counterstrikes were tough enough. Go look at the CENTCOM tweet there, Don. The problem with you, President Trump, is you think you're negotiating with some Manhattan real estate developers instead of the radical Islamic generals, clerics, and terrorists that they are. They don't give a shit. I've spent a hell of a lot more time than you in the Middle East, Mr. President. Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Oman, UAE, Pakistan. I've been to these countries. I know the mindset. Mr. President, the second you say, let's negotiate, let's get a deal, you lost. These people believe that negotiation is failure. It's surrender. They fight to the end. And they've been doing it for thousands of years, sadly, with also with Israel. So I get it. You want a deal. I'm a deal maker. The Apprentice. I'm a deal. Eight wars stopped. Give me a Nobel Prize. I don't need it, you know, technically, even though I want it, but don't give it to me. You have no idea what you're doing. Now, I get it. You got elected President Wiz, but I've known Raising Cane, Dan Cane, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He can't say any of this publicly. He salutes. He's a good soldier, good airman. And he follows the orders of the president, the lawful orders of the elected president of the people. But I know the reason I know is probably most likely talking like this. He probably gave his advice and counsel like I would have if I was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. I would have hit the president with all that stuff. Like, Mr. President, we have all the assets in place, the resources. Let's fucking finish this. He said, well, Raisin, I appreciate that, but here's what we're going to do. I want to get a deal done. They're close. They just need a little love tap, Raisin. Love tap, love shack, baby. B-52s, love that. I played at Mar-a-Lago when I DJ. Come on, man. You are failing, and you are putting the young men and women wearing the uniform in danger when you do this. So what happened? We hit them last night. The president was pissed that the media, apparently, or people like me, don't think it was hard enough. And why am I not well, CENTCOM called it proportional. So you lost. All the veterans I talked to, my phone blew up. Everybody's like, did they just use the word proportional? What are we? Awful. So today, market imploding. The president this morning, I'm going to hit him tonight. Massive. I'm going to hit him so hard. You're not going to believe how tough I've hit him tonight. Here we go. By the way, what's happened during this ceasefire? Not a ceasefire, man. Iran's been rippling shit off at their brother Arab countries. Nice. Israel got hammered the other night with, like, what was it, 11? Do you know what happened the other night when Iran shot 11 intermediate range ballistic missiles at Israel? We didn't help. Trump said, sit on our hands. Let Bibi handle all that stuff. You might agree with that, but that's a pretty... it's a pretty strong statement, because he was like, I'm trying to get a deal done, man. Just take some punches. Love or hate Netanyahu, folks. Could you imagine Israel? If Canada and Mexico were beating the shit out of us and Netanyahu, the roles were reversed, like, hey, Don, let Vermont and let New England just keep getting hammered. I'm trying to close this deal. What do you think Trump would say in return? Like, fuck you, man. These are my citizens. I got to act. But president wants a deal. So, and during the ceasefire, which wasn't a ceasefire, it was a ceasefire in name only, wasn't it? What happened? Do you think Iran used the time to meditate and reflect and talk and say, man, maybe we should come to our senses. Maybe we shouldn't want a nuclear weapon. Maybe we should just get along with everybody and love Israel and the United States. Death to America? No. Let's start chanting love to America. Do you think that happened? I mean, they used this time to get more surface-to-air missiles, more rockets, more drones from China and Russia. By the way, during the ceasefire, China and Russia have been giving them massive intel and targeting information. Hey, do you want to know where their AWACS are parked? Here's the lat long down to the fifth decimal point, so you can hit them. How do you think we lost those AWACS and some of those tankers? Iran has no idea how to target their satellite. I think they got one, and we probably took that out. China and Russia rearmed, refueled, restocked, gave them more intel. That was their ceasefire, folks. So, getting ready, or did my Newsmax hit, and all of a sudden, and I bought some calls this morning. I love being lucky better than good sometimes. I bought some S&P 500 calls this morning. At Top Gun Options, I call them drinking money calls. I don't drink anymore, but if I was, you know, round of drinks. These were $700 calls. Clearly, I used to be a drinker and buy a lot for my friends. I bought some S&P 7350 calls for $700. And then the S&P went down and I'm going to bomb them up tonight. I'm like, man, all right. I shit you not, man. I'm sitting here putting on my sport coat. Isn't it funny? I wear shorts, right? I'm wearing a nice sport coat and nice collared shirt for my hits. I'm wearing, you know, flip-flops and my Lululemon shorts. I look over at my other screen and the S&P goes straight up. There's a green candle like I've almost never seen before, straight up. Then another one, then another one. I'm like, want to bet Trump said I'm not going to bomb him tonight? And it just kept going. I got out of those calls. I bought them at $700. I got out of them for like $3,700 as it was still climbing. I'm like, whoa, maybe this is a mistake. It's not a flash crash. It's a flash pop. I closed them. I made $3,000. Bought them for $700. Sold them for $3,700. Wow, that was nice. That's a nice, you know, $3,000 profit. Because, true social post, I've heard from the highest levels of the Iranian government that they want a deal, and I'm calling off the strikes for tonight. I saw a post, somebody like the Trump, we're close to a deal counter. It was like 30, I think we were over 40 times in the past, fill in the blank, man. 60 days, 90 days that we've got a deal. It's fine. Deal's done. Deal's already done. Just Rubio said that a couple weeks ago. Like, we're fighting over the word puppy. We want puppy. They want to use small dog. So, you know, it's that's where we are. Enough. This is what happens when you negotiate in public, man. You look like an ass. So don't get me wrong. I love the fact that I made $3,700 or whatever it was today and with some drinking money calls and my bullish on America trades are printing money. And I love it, but I hate the reason why. I just heard from the highest levels of Iranian government. We got a deal. Everybody loves it. It's a deal. Look at me. I'm a deal maker. This is the same president who, when he wasn't president, was giving Obama grief about being strung on by the Iranians and getting a bad deal. I know how a good deal, that's an awful deal. The JCPOA, whatever it was called, the nuke deal Obama got, which allowed him to get a nuke essentially, and he paid him billions. Anyway, and then Biden, Sleepy Joe, the mullahs, you know, pushed him around like a wheelbarrow. Oh, unbelievable. I'd never let that happen. My God, man. Do you think the mullahs today woke up or the generals and said, you know what? Yeah, uncle, we're done. Or did they, this is what they do. They string you along, say yes, and then I've had it, Mr. President. Finish the fucking job. You are failing miserably. And our young men and women who voluntarily raise the right hand, put the uniform on to serve, are at risk. Keep saying, I don't care about, you know, the midterms or inflation or gas prices, then don't. If you truly didn't, which clearly I believe you do, you would have pounded them into the dirt the first time. I'm old, man. When I got commissioned in 91, Desert Storm. Shock and awe, General Schwarzkopf, Colin Powell, Bush the first, right? Naval aviator, the youngest naval aviator, 19-year-old kid from Yale or wherever, man. Flew in the Pacific, shot down, got rescued by a submarine. Thank God he got rescued because it was Chichijima. The Japanese commander on Chichijima was a cannibal. He would eat the hearts of the POWs in front of his men to show, you know, my God, man. I sailed past, what was that, on the Kitty Hawk? What, Lincoln or Kitty Hawk, when we sailed through that area, I was like, I flew by where George Bush got shot down. But ladies and gentlemen, at least that guy served. He was a naval aviator, ran the CIA. George Bush the first, he looked at General Powell and General Schwarzkopf and said, go. Don't stop till it's finished type of thing. I really wish the president would have said that or would say that. If you listen to this podcast, Mr. President, add it to your list of things to do. General Kane, Raisin, go get it done. And this morning, the threat was what? I'm going to invade Karg Island, Karg. 90% of oil, Iranian's oil goes through Karg Island. I've flown. Folks, I used to get lit up by IHAWK. What's an IHAWK? It's one of our surface-to-air missile batteries that we gave the Iranians back in the day. When we would conduct operations in the NAG, N-A-G, not your ex-girlfriend, the Northern Arabian Gulf, in the NAG, we would be, have to be, 12 miles at least away from Karg Island. But folks, they had IHAWK batteries out there. I'm getting ready to land aboard an aircraft carrier at night. I'm already scared shitless, and they're lighting me up with a surface-to-air missile. And you never knew it. You always, I'm like, is this the time that guy squeezes fire? Because you have different tones. Like, ah, it's just a search or sweep or, no, this is a targeting, a fire control missile locked on type of thing. And you had to maneuver and put out chaff and flares and Gen X. And you knew the guy looking at the radar scope was like, but you didn't know, man, was that the day? Was that the day a rogue missile commander said, for Allah, I'm going to shoot down Wiz. Or that's the start to the war. We're going to target a bunch of Navy, you know, aircraft landing aboard the boat. So this morning was, we're going to invade Karg Island. We're going to own the oil, just like Venezuela. Here comes the Marine Corps. Man, I'm pretty sure when I read that, I was like, there's a 0.1% chance it's going to happen. The dude's certifiable in some way, but he wasn't going to do that. But that's what worked with North Korea, right? Do you remember the Trump the first? I remember we had three carrier strike groups over off North Korea, more than like the Battle of Midway. The last time we had that much carrier iron in the Pacific was like World War II, and he was going to attack North Korea. Then what did he do? He like sent a picture from one of our, the dude wasn't sleeping in the same place every night. Karima, some young guy, was terrified. He was moving around every night. We knew where he was. Trump sent a picture from like a Predator or a Global Hawk or whatever it was called with like a bullseye on his head. Like, you know what? I'm not going to kill 25 million North Koreans. I'm just going to kill you. Guy picked up the phone and said, hey, Ronald, can you meet in Singapore? The guy didn't want to die. Right. So, yeah, and met in Singapore. I mean, hell, Donald Trump walked into North Korea, folks. Do you not remember this? My God. Hey, met him also in wherever, the other country. Didn't he meet him twice? Yeah, because one time he walked into North Korea and that guy walked into South Korea. I get it. You want a deal. But, man, you have never negotiated with anybody like this in your life. And it sucks because like 3-4 months ago, we went from what? Unconditional surrender to they're tough negotiators. How do you go from unconditional surrender, anything less than that's a failure, to, man, they're pretty tough. The fuck are you talking about? They're pretty tough. They hold no cards. Their Navy's on the bottom of the Gulf. Their air defenses have been almost totally destroyed. And isn't it funny, the Democrats and liberals, I'm not giving you any ammo because they're like, aha, I thought they destroyed all the air defenses. They shot down a helo. Man, all it takes is a dude with a shoulder-mounted surface-to-air missile, a man pad. Enough with that. That's what took down a strike eagle. It was a Chinese. Thanks, fellas. One dude standing on a hill saw a strike eagle and shot it down. So you're never going to – there's different – I forget all the terms – air superiority, air dominance, air. There's like shades of stuff. And obviously the president doesn't talk in shades. He talks in absolutes. Like, we destroyed everything. Everything's gone. And then somebody gets shot down. It's, you know, you kind of look dumb. So I would never. And that's why it's good to see Raisin when he talks. It ain't absolutes, man. It's there. There are shades of raisin, and it's good. So I don't, you know, man, I've been rambling for 30 minutes, it feels like, and I, you know, I haven't looked at my phone. Are we back on for tonight? You should, this shouldn't be happening. I swear, after we finished Afghanistan, the surrender, Joe Biden surrender, 13 servicemen get killed. Horror surrender, leaving in the middle of the night. Our allies, see ya. The Aussies, the Brits, they woke up at Bagram the next day. All the local Afghani dudes like showing up to work to do the laundry or make breakfast. Like, where are the Americans? Yeah, they left. Oh, that's great. And then Iraq. Decades in Iraq, decades in Afghanistan. I'm like, you know what? No fallen heroes, I pray, has no more veterans we have to care for. I hope we go away. I hope 3 to 5 years from now, it is not needed. The VA picks up the whiz. We got it from here. Awesome. I can retire. I don't need to run a foundation anymore. And then here we go. The Houthis and the blowfish in Yemen, Venezuela, Midnight Hammer. The first time last year we hit Iran, and now Operation Epic Fury. So I have a vested interest in this. And my oldest son, our oldest son, is up at active duty at Dover Air Force Base. And he's actually dealing with the God put him in this job for a reason. He's trying to fly. He's getting his pilot's license, wants to go to Officer Candidate School for the Air Force and try and get a pilot slot. But he went active duty so he can get his counter clicking. And it looks good on paper that you're already in that Air Guard squadron. He got deployed to Dover, and he's dealing with the mortuary affairs. He's like the casket's coming off guy. It's hard. He's like, Dad, this is he's seeing it. Guess what he also tells me? And he's been very busy, folks. Suicides. Active duty. There's been some accidents. Two soldiers were hiking in Morocco, I think. They fell off a cliff. Two deaths. Some airman was just found dead in his barracks room in Japan or Korea. Might be murder, I've heard. And then suicides. You know what's sad? They do those, they call them missions. They do those missions when? At night. 1, 2 in the morning. No media, no cameras. They ain't publicizing that, are they? I mean, the highly visible ones, they can't hide, can they? The mid-air collision with the KC-135, the six or seven killed in Kuwait in the drone strike. Can't hide those, can you? Well, we'll do that in the broad daylight, and the president will be there, and SecWar and General Kane. So my boy is seeing this. He can take over the foundation for me. He's got some stories to tell, man. He deals with the families. Sad. It's very sad. So, Mr. President, stop with the death by a thousand cuts. Let's start wrapping this up. I don't pray for war. I pray for peace. I don't want any of this. Let's finish the job. Let's bring all our young men and women home safe. And let's end it in a way that we don't have to go back anytime soon. Again, war is the ultimate failure of the human condition. But if, God forbid, it has to happen, it should be as violent and overwhelming as humanly possible so it ends quickly. So that's my appeal to you, Mr. President. And I just, enough is enough. They started this war 47 years ago. Let's finish it. Okay. We got enough problems at home we need to focus on, but obviously ridding the world of a radical Islamic regime who wants the most powerful weapon ever known to man, not getting that weapon is a just war, in my opinion. So Bob, Your Eminence, the Pope, I'm a recovering Catholic. There is a such thing as a just war. And just because you don't have the spine to call out radical Islam doesn't mean I don't. Okay. So let's end on a high note. We have a Sacred Warrior Fellowship coming up in July down here in South Florida. I think we've, did we pass our first year anniversary? I think we've, Sacred Warrior Fellowship has been airborne for a year, folks. I think we've done 6 or 7 ceremonies down here in South Florida. I am humbled and honored by that mission, using these sacraments in a spiritual and religious way, protected under the First Amendment. I've been to Harvard Divinity School. I am just so blown away by that. Head to sacredwarriorfellowship.com and you can get more information on our retreats. If you'd like to apply, you're a veteran, first responder, or family member, go to nofallenheroes.com and you can click on the application up there. If the religious thing or the spiritual thing just ain't your cup of tea, we can refer you to, secular clinics in Oregon or Colorado or Mexico or Costa Rica. But it's making my heart smile that I'm seeing a lot more people in the space, especially the Ibogaine space, who were, Wiz, don't talk about God because we're trying to take the clinical route and you might turn people off. How about no? I'm going to speak my truth, man. God, this was a sacrament. It was the most spiritual, religious thing that's ever happened to me. I'm not going to pull my punches to make you happy, man. Truth is truth, and it's neither good or bad. It just is. So I am going to always speak truth and lead with my heart, and you can never fail. Okay, so I pray for peace on earth. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great rest of your day. Fights on. I'll be back. Yeah, let's call it next week. I can't believe this. Susie and I are heading up to Ole Miss Sunday for a couple days for freshman orientation. Shoot me. Oh my God, I can't believe. Don't blink. Don't blink, man. It is absolutely bittersweet. I thank you, Father. I thank you, God, for this life, the good, the bad, the all of it. It's pretty awesome. All right. So have a great rest of your day. Fights on. Namaste. Wiz out. And I'll talk to you soon. God bless.